Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, verses 36 through 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, one of the most frequently quoted, if not misquoted, passages of the Bible is "Judge not." It's hard to imagine a worse put down in our day than being called judgmental. That is because many people deny that there is an objective standard of right and wrong, and that they are held accountable for their words and actions toward themselves and others. If we express our disapproval of the words and actions of others, they may say to us, "Who gave you the right to judge? I did what felt right to me. You may have your own ideas of right and wrong, but don't try to impose them on me." So people will hide behind the words of our Lord, taking them out of context. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. But is Jesus really saying that we are forbidden and unable to make any moral evaluations of our actions and the actions of others? To answer this question, we need to examine the Lord's words in context. Jesus' other statements in this same sermon help explain what he means about judging others. He says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." 3 verses later, he also says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." As believers, we are disciples or students of our teacher Jesus. As his students, we will follow after him, even when it comes to judging or not judging, condemning or not condemning, forgiving or not forgiving. We do not seek to be above our teacher in these matters, but according to the grace that God gives us, we will want to be like him. We will want to conform ourselves to his word so that we will think and act like Jesus as much as possible. We want to grow in our wisdom and discernment so that we will judge when and how he judges, so that we will condemn when and how he condemns, and so we will forgive when and how he forgives. Therefore, when Jesus says, "Judge not," he means that we must not judge our others in a self-righteous or arrogant way. We should not presume to read someone's heart and mind and find a hidden motive. We should not hypocritically hold others to a standard to which we are not willing to be held ourselves. So Jesus does not mean that we are forbidden to make a moral evaluation of the words and actions of others, or that others are forbidden to make a moral evaluation of our words and actions. He does not mean that we do not have the right to compare various situations to his holy word and draw the necessary conclusions from such a comparison. Indeed, Jesus asks, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a ditch?" This comment sounds like a judgment to me. It also sounds as if we are being invited to join in making such judgments ourselves and to evaluate the religious leaders of our time as to whether they are guiding us safely down the enlightened pathway of God's word or blindly guiding us down into the ditch of spiritual destruction. In other words, he is telling us to judge correctly. To judge correctly means first to see your own need for a Savior. When it comes to seeing our own sin, we often have a blind spot. On the other hand, we think we have 20/20 vision when it comes to seeing the specks in the eyes of others, but we somehow miss the planks in our own eyes. We can detect bitterness and anger a mile away in those with whom we work, or family members, or friends. But when we ourselves are angry, suddenly it's justified anger. We were hurt. We were wrong. It was the other person's fault. We know pride and arrogance when we see it in others, but somehow the person we see in the mirror is neither proud nor arrogant. We prefer to think of ourselves as self-confident, assertive, a self-starter. We tend to think of sin as something out there in the world, not dwelling in our own hearts. We are repulsed by the immorality and darkness of our reckless world, which seems to be drowning in a cesspool of greed, lust, and flagrant immorality. Yet we find it difficult to admit that we ourselves stand condemned by the same law with which we condemn our sinful world. We think to ourselves like the Pharisee who prayed, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men." What does Jesus say about this? "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." Jesus calls such a person a hypocrite, a play actor, someone who pretends to be someone they're not. The Greek word for plank here literally means the lump timber of a house, a load-bearing beam. Such a beam totally obstructs our own vision. And if with such blurred vision we attempt to pick a speck of sawdust out of our brother's eye, we are like the blind leading the blind. When Jesus tells us we must first remove the plank from our own eye, he means that we must first repent of our own sins. To judge correctly means to see your own need for a Savior. As we read in the first letter of John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's exactly what happens in the liturgy. We confess our sins, and the pastor speaks the word of God to forgive those sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, the pastor speaks for Jesus and forgives you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The absolution is the forgiveness of Jesus himself, which means light for our darkness and sight for our blindness. Already here in the very shadow of death, we bask in the sunshine of his love and walk in the brightness of his light, which has no end. Only after we have first taken care of our own enormous load of guilt and sin can we see others' faults in the proper perspective. To judge correctly, secondly, means to see the need of your fellow man. And then, too, we will be able to suggest the proper remedy. Their sin must be forgiven by the blood of the Savior, just as our sins are. Rather than to judge and condemn, Jesus calls us to forgive. He wants us to forgive the words and deeds of others in which they sin against us with the same mercy and love with which he forgives us. Near the end of the movie Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, comes face to face with the Sandman, the man who murdered his Uncle Ben. The Sandman says to Peter, "I'm not asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to understand." He goes on to explain what has led him into a life of crime, his daughter's severe illness and his lack of money to pay for her care. But Peter, Spider-Man, does not tell him, "I understand," or "it's all right." He doesn't gloss over the wrongdoing. Instead, he looks at the Sandman and says, "I forgive you." At that point, the Sandman is released from his burden and flies away in the wind as loose sand. To judge correctly means to see the need of your fellow man. Such mercy keeps us from judging and condemning others and leads us to forgive. And that is proof that Jesus' love lives in our hearts by faith. Therefore, Jesus promises us that we will not be judged or condemned either, but we too will always have God's gracious forgiveness. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. This statement is a warning to those who would presume to rise above their teacher and to speak a word of condemnation to those who are under Christ's word of forgiveness. But it is also a word of comfort to those who have received the forgiveness of sins from their Savior, to those who know by faith that in Christ we have passed from death to life, and that in Christ we are not judged. Amen. Please rise for prayer. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are merciful, and through Christ you have promised us that you will neither judge nor condemn us, but graciously forgive us all our sins and abundantly provide for all our needs of body and soul. We pray that by your Holy Spirit you would establish in our hearts a confident faith in your mercy, and teach us also to be merciful to our neighbor, that we may not judge or condemn others, but willingly forgive all, and judging only ourselves, lead blessed lives in your fear, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.